All right, I've spent the last number of weeks broadening our understanding of the dimensions of God to show forth his power and his control. We've worked up to the sixth dimension, which is the culmination of everything in our universe. And if you have an understanding of the fifth and sixth dimensions, and this goes back way back to the Old Testament rabbis and the scholars of the Old Testament when they tried to decide, what powers does God have? What dimensions? And a dimension is a reality. It's simply this. It's a reality that exists whether I believe it or not, whether I see it or not. It's still in full existence. It's still operating. Just like the cells in your body that you do not see, they're still operating. Whether you believe they are or not, they are. So that's what a dimension is. And so these scholars, and even the ones throughout history in the world, have tried to figure out, how does everything work? And so the first four dimensions have to do with length, height, depth, or space, and then time. We live in those dimensions. Everything moves forward in time. Everything has a height. From the smallest thing, it has height, it has length, and it has space. It has depth. And so when those four dimensions are talked about, that's what we live in. And then they were just thinking, well, you know, there's got to be 10 of them, at least 10. And so the fifth and sixth dimension is the ability to understand everything in our dimensions that is similar to us. All the planets, all the solar systems, all the stars. If you had the ability to understand how they started. See, our best guess in our day and age is we call it the Big Bang. There was nothing, then there was something. And it went boom, and it started. How does that work? I don't know. That's what we kind of think of, probably something like that. Well, we know God created it. So there is the idea in the fifth and sixth dimension that if I can understand how it all started and how it moves along time all the way to the future and understand the future of everything, that is an awesome dimension. And combined with that, the ability to move along that timeline from beginning of everything that is similar. All the Earths like ours, all the planets like ours, all the stars like our sun, all that. Understanding where they all came from. How did a black hole get there? How big is our universe? And then understand its future. And if we could move along the timeline and control it all, whoa, that is some power. Well, the only one that has that power is God. In fact, our best telescopes say if you started today in 2021, I said 19, I'm kind of dating myself. 2021, and you were to travel the circumference, getting all the way to the other side of our known universe. What we can actually tell with our best telescopes, we still can't see the end of it because we run out of light entering the telescope. So our best, biggest telescopes, if we were to start today and get to where we can actually see, it would take us 54 sextillion years. That's 54 with 22 zeros behind it. I don't even know what that year would be to reach the end. If we started today traveling, it would take us 54 sextillion. And then we come to find out recently, hey, this universe is expanding still at the rate of the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles a second. Whoa! If we could understand that, we'd be operating in dimensions that go beyond ours, and that only has to do with where we live and what we're a part of. Listen what the Lord says about those dimensions. In Isaiah 44:24, he says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer and Creator. I am the Lord who made all things. I am your Redeemer and your Creator on an individual basis. But not only that, I made all things that have to do with this. And he says this, I alone stretched out the heavens. He made a statement there that they didn't even know scientifically till the last 50 years, that the heavens are still being stretched. He says, who was with me when I made the earth? Who understands that dynamic? Who, in another place in Scripture, he says, who understands how much the earth actually weighs? He says, the earth is like a grain of sand in my hand. Not a big deal. I hold the water of the earth in the cup of my hand. How much water can you hold in your hand? He goes, yeah, it's not even a big deal. All the oceans. Well, the earth is 75% water. It ain't nothing, like a drop. Then he says this in Isaiah 46. Not only did I make it all, I'm in control of everything. I do the fifth and sixth dimension. Remember the things I have done in the past. Made it all. For I alone am God. I am God and there is none like me. I looked everywhere. No one like me. Only I can tell you the future. Oh, the timeline. Before it even happens. Not only can I tell you how it's going to happen, which way they're saying, man, if you could operate in that dimension, that'd be awesome. How it began and how it ended. He goes, I was there. I know even how much the earth weighs. I know everything. He says this, everything I plan, I got a plan in everything. It will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. I am ultimately in control. Which takes us then to the seventh dimension that these guys thought about. And the seventh dimension is, what if there's a world outside of that world? Outside of all that we know, outside of all the universes and solar systems that we live in, what if there's another dimension outside of that and somebody knew all about that? That would be awesome. I know who knows all about that. That's a place we call heaven. That's called the abode of God and the home of the angels, of other beings that live there. Listen to what the seventh dimension says. In the seventh dimension, you have access to the possible worlds that start with different initial conditions. They're not similar like us. They're not like the stars and the stuff we see. What if there was a world that is different from all that? In the seventh dimension, you'd have understanding of that. You'd get it. And it goes on to say, whereas in the fifth and sixth, the initial conditions were the same and the subsequent actions were different. Stars are different, this or this. Everything about this place is different than everything in our place. From the very beginning of time when it started, when it came to be, how it came to be, what's the future of that? That, my friends, is the seventh dimension. As I shared with you earlier, a dimension is simply a reality, whether I believe it or not, or know about it or not, I see it or not, it's still there. As Christians, we're all well acquainted with this dimension. In fact, 404 times in the Bible, heaven is mentioned. And 238 times in the New Testament, heaven is mentioned. In contrast to that, 15 times in Scripture, hell is mentioned. 5 times the word Hades or the holding place is mentioned. Most Christians have heard a lot more about hell than about heaven. And most of those mentions of heaven speak of the abode of God. That's amazing stuff. After our son died, and we just celebrated his 10-year, anniversary of that a couple days ago. And I remember, that's always weird because it seems 10 years, it's like it seems so long and yet it seems like yesterday. Sometimes I forget what his laugh was like. you just, you know, it's just a trippy thing. But anyway, after the day after he died, I remember sitting in my backyard and I took my Bible and I held it up to God and I said, God, what can you show me in here to give me comfort? And the Lord spoke to me. He verbally spoke to me from outside me. And he said, you want comfort? I'll show you heaven. And for the next year plus, I studied those 404 verses and those 238 verses. And I studied every piece of material I could get about heaven. Because I'd never done that before to that degree. And you know what? It brought me great comfort. It brought me an understanding of heaven that I didn't know of. And it brought in me a yearning for that place like I never had before. It opened my eyes to where our destination is. And so I'm going to share some of that probably for the next couple of weeks, because when you have 400 verses of something in Scripture, there's multiple angles to it. So today, I just want to share with you, in the time we have, a little bit of Scripture on, it's like the earth. Of course it's going to be like the earth. We're going to live there. We're earthlings. Do you know that every mention of the abode of God in Scripture is given to us in earthly terms? You know that in Numbers 23:19 it says, God is not a man that he should lie. If he says that's the way it is, that's the way it is. And he's not even exaggerating. So let's jump in a little bit about it. And what's crazy, so we're going to look at the physical, at least in the time we have, we're going to look at the physical, some physical aspects of it. 2 Corinthians 12 tells us of Paul who said, I went to that place. I've been there. I've been there. And he goes on to share it in this letter to the Corinthians. And he says, in it, 14 years ago, the only mention of his journey to that place was in 2 Corinthians 12. Because he was told not to talk about it. Even though he went there, and we'll look at it a little bit. So he says this, and in context of that passage, he's talking about defending himself from some people who are saying he's not really attached to God, don't listen to him. Oh, Paul thinks he's a big old man. Oh, he's the man. He's Mr. Know-it-all. And so he goes into this defense of himself, and part of that defense is, I've been to the boat of God. Have you? And this is what he says about that. He says, this boasting of my credentials, not only as a Pharisee and all this boasting is stupid, but I have to tell you it. He says, this boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I will tell you what God has shown me with my eyes and what he has revealed to my mind. He goes, even though I know it's not going to be of much help to you. And I'll explain that in a minute. He says, I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. No other mention of it. In all his other letters, never talked about it at all. He says, well, before I move on, let's understand this. In their mindset of heavens, because Scripture talks of heavens, the Jews had three thoughts about it, which also translated into the early church of Paul to share in here. Three heavens. The first heaven in their mind was from the earth to the clouds. They called that the first heavens, the first place of the sky. Then they said the second level of heaven was from the clouds to the stars. Get up that picture that we put up last week about what are our best pictures of what we have of the universe. Can we get that up there? He said, the second heaven is from the clouds to the very edges of the universe. That's all the second heaven. Then Paul tells us the third heaven is outside of that, the abode of God. And in this passage of Scripture, we can go ahead and take that down. He says this, I've been to that place. How I got there, how I traveled through all the clouds and the stars and the galaxies and the solar systems and the, you know, all that stuff, I don't know. He goes on to say this in verse 2. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. He says, I was intact. It was me there. It wasn't like the Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz. An arm over there, a leg over there, picked apart the straw in the chest, threw it over there. You know what I'm saying? He says, I was intact. But I didn't know if the material was my earthly body or if it was some other material. I don't understand. I don't know. But I do know it was me. And he says this. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. He says, I was taken to paradise. Paradise means a park, a garden. So in this abode, see, those are all earthly terms. He says, I was taken to this place, and it was a garden. It was a big old park. And the sounds I heard, oh, so we had ears. So they still functioned. He heard things. He says they were so astounding, so unlike, so far more expansive, so many different hertzes. You know, we can only hear a certain amount of hertz, certain amount of sound. That's why they got dog whistles and stuff. You can't hear it, but old Fido hears it. He says, I heard things I never heard before. They were so astounding. He says, I can't even express what those sounded like. It was mind-boggling to me. And then he says this, things no human is allowed to tell. What does that even mean? No human is allowed to tell. Yeah. Because if he came up to people and said, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. But before I do that, I went to heaven. And when I was in heaven, my mind was blown with revelations. I saw things with my eyes nobody was ever seen. I had heard things I never heard before. Let me tell you about Jesus. And they go, awesome. Let me tell you about the Orange County Mental Health. Because everything after he would have shared that would have been blah, blah, blah to them. It wouldn't have mattered. He says, well, I'm telling you this, but there's no point to it. He says, it's beyond my ability. And I was told not to say anything because why? It'll mess with the message I'm trying to give you. And then he goes on to say this. The experience is worth boasting. In verse 5, it's worth boasting about what I saw. But I'm not going to do it. I will only boast about my weaknesses. I will only boast about my need for God. 14 years he kept this experience quiet and only brings it out one time in his letters. And then he says, I'm a stupid for bringing it out. And I don't want to be puffed up by it. He says, if I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so. Even if I wanted to boast about it, it wouldn't be foolish. Why? Because I would be telling the truth. I really went there. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. I want to tell you about Jesus, but I want you to see it in my life so that you know. See these beatings I took on my back? See the stoning I took? That, and I'm still following him. I'm all in. You see what it cost me? And let me tell you the message about what he did for you. Because if I tell you these other things, it'll mess that message up. And not only that, it'll make me proud. Look where I went. Look what I experienced. How about you? Yeah, that's because I'm way better. Me and God, tight. You and God, not so much. So he says, I'm not going to tell you that because it'll mess with it. I'm going to let my testimony, my life, my commitment to what I'm telling you be the testimony of the truth of the message. And then he says this in verse 7, and so to keep me from becoming proud, even though I want my message and my life to be the witness of this Jesus, but to keep me from being proud, because if I share this everywhere I go, I'll be all proud. He knew himself well enough. He knew himself well enough. He says, I was given a thorn in my flesh. I was given something in me, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Even though I experienced these amazing things that most of you have never experienced, I was given something so that I had to rely on God, that I am a human like you that has to endure and go through the things of life trusting and leaning on God. Michael and I got the privilege yesterday to share at a Calvary Chapel men's conference, and I shared our story, and a lot of people came up to me, and you know, it blessed them and it strengthened them and it encouraged them. And how do you do it? How would you bear something that you guys have all gone through? And it's because the Holy Spirit enables us. You must be so strong. I'm not that strong. I'm weak, like Paul. I'm weak. I have to depend on the Holy Spirit every day to help me, to help me, to help me get through, to help me manage. In myself, I can't do it. And I've had some amazing experience of God. I didn't go to the third heaven, so I can't boast about that. But I've seen some stuff, and I've experienced some stuff. But I never am different than you. And Paul says, I'm never different than you. I still need the Holy Spirit to enable me to carry these scars, to enable me to get to Rome and ultimately be martyred. That's not something I can do in my own strength. That is not, and you can't bear many, you can't bear much in your own strength. We're weak. So Paul goes on to say that, but he did give us some clues of the third heaven. Ears work, mind works, revealed things. He understood things that he couldn't understand on earth. And I believe that's what happens when we get to heaven. We'll all of a sudden understand stuff from a perspective we could never grasp on earth. Because why? We're experiencing a different dimension. We're at a different angle. We're understanding that. And so he says, listen, and I had a body. I was intact. What kind of body? What was that? I'm not sure. I don't know, but God knows. And he goes on to say that. And then he says, I was in this garden, this paradise. You know, that's the same place Jesus told the thief on the cross. The exact same place. In Luke 23, 42, when Jesus was getting ready to die and he's talking to the thief, and the one thief goes, oh, we're being killed. We're being punished for what we deserve. You didn't do nothing wrong. So, hey, Jesus, he says this. That thief says to Jesus in verse 42, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your place, when you come into your kingdom, when you come to that place. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me in a location in that dimension that is a garden. That is a park that is outside. In fact, John the Baptist says this about Jesus after he baptized him. In John 3:31, it says this, he has come from above, John speaking of Jesus. He said, he has come from above. He has come from the third heaven, that place. And he is greater. He's greater than anyone else. We are of the earth, and we speak of earthly things. But he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. He testifies about what he has seen and heard, what Jesus saw and heard in the heavens, where he comes from, his abode. But how few believe what he tells them. He tells them about that place. He tells them that he loves. He's fixing their earthly so they can get to heavenly. And so few believe him. See, if you can't believe him in the earthly realm, you're not going to believe him in the heavenly realm. If you can't believe him that what he says here is true, how are you going to believe what he says about there is true? It's nonsense. And this is what Jesus said about himself in that same chapter. He says, if you don't believe me in verse 12, when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and come back, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. I've come from that abode. That is my home. I'm telling you. And in this realm, I've created it all. I've created it all. But that's not all there is to it. Let me share this with you. You know the people that are most effective on this earth, the Christians that are most effective on this earth, have a heavenly perspective. You know that every person that doesn't believe in Jesus, they only have an earthly perspective. So when God's kids who have been promised and who have greater knowledge in the light of God in them have their same eyes on the earth all the time, they are absolutely no help to the earthlings that don't have a view of heaven. The most effective Christians throughout history have a good grasp, have their eyes focused on Jesus and the heavenly. That's what empowers them to be a blessing on this earth, or we get into the same muck and mire everybody on the earth gets into. When we're thinking the guy in the president is going to be our savior, which we're pretty clear he ain't, we are in a world of hurt. And we think the last guy was our savior, we're in a world of hurt. If the Lord should tarry and the next guy is our savior, we're no better than any other earthling who looks for their salvation among earthlings. Amen? And we minimize the God who is in absolute control. Absolute control created it all. But you and I in our own personal lives, we can doubt God's even in control of our future. I trust you, God, but the way you're doing stuff, yeah, it's time for me to go sideways. And I'll handle this. You can't even trust him with the earthly thing. Yeah, but God, I'm disappointed in the way you've done things. I am totally against the way you're doing stuff right now. And by the way, you are the slowest moving God ever. So, I'm going to take matters into my own hands because I'm part of a planet you can't even see. So I should be making good choices to help you out. We're no earthly good. The heavenly minded are earthly good. But that's not all. I got a couple minutes left before we open up and get out there to serve, get out there and have an opportunity. In John 14:1, the last night of Jesus' life, when he's getting ready to relocate from the earth back to heaven, from which he sits on the throne now and rules everything, he says this to his disciples who finally get it that he's going. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." There's a house up there. There's a house up there, and it's our God the Father's house. But I thought he was spirit. I don't know. He's got a house. Jesus said so. And this is what he said to him. "And in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so," if that wasn't true what I just told you, I would have told you. It's the truth. He says, "And I'm going there to prepare a place for you." God's still building in heaven. Heaven is still being built. Of course it is. He's got to make room for all of us. And Jesus was a carpenter anyway. He's a builder. So your gifts count there. It's a house with many rooms. And he's building it and preparing it for us. He's building now ours. He didn't need to build them before. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you may be where I am. That encompasses a number of coming backs. But one of those coming backs is clear that he's coming back to get his disciples. A perfect example of that is the guy that, he was my spiritual father and my sponsor in recovery. He and his wife mentored Therese for our first year and us walking this new walk. And they were a huge blessing. And he told us the story of his mom, how she was getting ready to die. And I share this oftentimes at memorial services. But she was getting ready to die. In fact, she was in the hospital and they called the family and said, you guys need to come and be around her, you know, and say your last goodbyes. You need to tell her goodbye. And so all the family was there going, and she was a believer. And she was in a coma probably for a couple days, as I recall. And all of a sudden in this coma, she sits up. She says, I see the Lord, but he won't be here till tomorrow. And then she went right back down into her coma. And the next morning she passed. God took her to the room. I believe it because he said that's what he does. You know, I don't know. Sometimes he may use angels. I don't know. But whatever, there's a God, there's a Jesus part of it. So we know just from today, and I'm going to expound on this more next week. We know a couple things just from today. You still got your body somehow. It's material. You hear, you see, your mind works. There's a park and there's a cool house. Pretty much it'd be spectacular if Jesus makes it. And it's waiting for you. I put in an order already. I would like a view window of the paradise. So I could see the park and whatever, all the little critters running around and all that stuff. You know, I'll be really bummed if I get up there and go, oh, great, a tough shed. Perfect. That'd be a bummer, huh? Okay. And this is the other thing, and then we'll get out of here. There's a number of places in Scripture, and we'll look at this as we move forward in our study of heaven a little bit, where he says, not only that, there's currency there. There's a thing called rewards. There's rewards. You can be super wealthy there. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. That's a Jesus thing. But he says, your works here. See, that's how you get paid in heaven, your service to the world in the name of that king. With your eyes focused there. In fact, Jesus said, if you give someone a cup of water in my name, you'll be rewarded for that. Matthew 6, we're told that store up treasures in heaven. Store up treasures. You want a retirement plan? That's the one. And what do you do to get that? You do stuff. You serve. You serve specifically towards heaven stuff. Touching lives, helping lives, blessing lives. Yeah, but I'm not good. Yeah, but Jesus took care of that. I don't know enough. Yeah, Jesus took care of that. Because he also says he gave us gifts. Jesus, the Savior of all mankind, is building houses. I know my son Gabe. He used to tell us from the time he was a teensy weensy, I'm going to build. I'm going to build you guys a house. He says, and when I get big and I get married and my kids, I'm going to build it 3 stories high. Because we'll be on the top story. It's always about you, Gabe. And then the second story will be my sister's. And then on the floor, Mom and Dad, you can have. I said, I bet the kitchen's down there too, right? He goes, yeah, I'm going to build it. I bet he's partaking in that. I bet he's doing that kind of stuff. And music and all the other things God's got going on. Which we'll look at some of those. 404 verses in Scripture talk about that. Here's something you can do. Study it. Get your mind on that and understand when I serve, and I still need the Holy Spirit, that just like I need the Holy Spirit to live life, I need the Holy Spirit to help me serve, and he will, and he'll gift you. And this is an opportunity to get some dinero that nobody will steal from you. And I don't even know exactly. Scripture doesn't say how that works. He just says, build treasure there. It's a good thing. And nobody will take it from you. You mean there's no IRS? Well, that alone is why I want to go. So you guys, moving into where we can do, is we have a bunch of stuff we do here. We have a bunch of stuff we do here. And if it gives you an opportunity to serve in the name of Jesus in multiple different ways, do something if you're not doing something. And it's always going to be inconvenient. It's inconvenient going to the cross. I'm sure Paul was inconvenienced being stoned. I think that probably set him back. It's inconvenient. But the blessings and the rewards and our destination and ability to help earthlings that have no hope when we got everything. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So can we stand up? And I'll lead you in a prayer if you're willing to pray. I'm just going to ask God to give us more of a heavenly-minded attitude, perspective on everything that's going on. Lord Jesus, I confess, oftentimes my eyes are planted on the earth and I'm no heavenly good. And when my eyes are planted on the earth, I'm not really that much better, that much help. Lord God, forgive me. Today I choose to lift my eyes, focus on Jesus, focus on my heavenly home, the big picture. I fully understand you're in charge. I fully understand you're making a room for me now. It's going to be awesome. And I really want it to be spectacular. I want it to be vaulted ceilings and a bunch of cool stuff. And while I'm praying, I also want my resurrected body to be a lot better than the one I got here. And I give you some directives on how that could work out. But give me strength, Lord God, to be a blessing to the world I live in and take people to you so that they may join in the world after. Help me to endure what I must endure and make me a blessing in it to a world that has no hope. Though I carry my thorn in the flesh, help me to bear the thorn well, that I may be a good light, and help me to earn much reward for the heavenly kingdom, souls, and whatever stuff that is. In Jesus' name, God bless you guys. All right, so go ahead and have some food. Check out all the different ministries. Do something.
Thank you,
Joe. You're welcome, Angel. God bless. Great to see you back.